God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a winner and not a loser. I am filled with purpose, destined for greatness, created by God to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Amen. So this is our first Sunday of the new year. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have a spirit of expectancy of what God is going to do this year, what he's already started. Amen. I'm excited. Amen. Because God is just so faithful. He's so amazing. We serve such an awesome God. Amen. And last week we were talking about vision, and we're going to continue, amen, throughout this month, because the Lord says to write the vision and make it plain that he may run that readeth it. But so if we don't have a plan in place, how do you know what direction you're going in? Amen. But as we prepare to start our fast, praise the Lord, God says it's time for us to detox our soul. It's time for us to detox our soul. Amen. And what is our soul? Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Amen. So, why is it necessary to detox our soul? We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to be reading verses 36 through 37, and I'm in the New Living Translation. So the Lord is saying it's time to detox our soul, because we can go on our body detoxes and we want to clean out the toxins. We want our liver to function as it should and be able to filter the fats and the sugars as it should. But how much more important is our soul? Amen. Because we know that once we accept Christ, we are now new creatures. The spirit man is perfected because we're perfected in him. But it's this flesh and this soul that needs to be brought under subjection to the Spirit of God. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 and 37, it says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." That's the first commandment. He says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So how can we fulfill this commandment if our soul is full of toxins? How can we fulfill this commandment that Jesus has put forth to us if our soul is full of toxins? And then I was like, well, Lord, how does our soul get polluted? And the Lord said it's by the choices that we make. Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we're faced with choices. What choice will you make today? Because the choice that you make today can determine the level of toxicity that's in your soul. Amen? Let's look at one toxin that we have to deal with is the spirit of gossip. And sometimes we disguise it in the fact, okay, I just want to share this with you. I mean, it's something that we need to be praying about, but we have to make sure that the way we're giving the information is the way God has ordained us to. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And I'm reading this one from the NIV version. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs," not yours, "according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You talking about your sister and brother in Christ is not beneficial to anyone. You saying that Minister Zanika hasn't been in her word all week, and we're just using that for an example. That's not true. We're just using that for an example. How is that benefiting anyone? Amen? So the Lord is saying the choices that we make, you have a choice what conversations you get involved in, and you have a choice the words that you choose to release into the atmosphere. Amen? You can let that person in traffic tick you off and you start saying things that you know are unwholesome. And even if you're in the car by yourself, God is listening. God is listening. God is there all the time. And we ask ourselves, if God was right there with you in a physical body, would you be so comfortable in saying what you just said? That's what we have to ask ourselves. God, when I speak words, the creator of the universe created this world by the words that he spoke. He said, let it be. That same creative force is in us, but are we going to use it for good? Or are we going to use it to curse others? And the word is saying, do not let any unwholesome talk. And the King James Version says, let no corrupt communication. Your words have life. And once you release them, you cannot take them back. So you need to think before you just fly off at the mouth saying what your flesh wants it to say. Because God is saying that when you do this, that's when the pollutants come and contaminate your soul. And Jesus said you're to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. So if our soul is not clean, if our soul is not lined up with the word of God, how are we loving Jesus to the best of our ability? When we know that there are things that we've said, we know that there are conversations that we have taken part in that God is not pleased with. And then people say, well, you're trying to be too spiritual. Am I really? When we say that we have identified ourselves with Christ, then we should talk like him. Jesus does not talk about us. He builds us up. He corrects us with the spirit of love. He doesn't demean us. He doesn't tell us that we're worthless, that I don't want to be with you. I mean, seriously, he doesn't, when we call out to him, he doesn't ignore us because he doesn't want to be bothered. He says, I am near to those who cry out to me. And when you can't reach that person at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus says, I am right there. The Holy Spirit is right there to lead you and to guide you and to comfort you, to strengthen you, to give you instruction if you will listen. So the Lord is saying the choices that we make, it has a lasting impact. We tell our children, because our children get caught up in things, it's like, well, this is about me. No, it's not, because it affects what you do, has a rippling effect on the whole family. It's not just about you. When we don't come to church, it's not just about you. Somebody may need that gift that's in you. I may need to see Sister Rose praising God today because I'm at a point that I feel as though my praise has dried up. Brother Hector pressed on in here today. There is nothing worse than a toothache. And when your tooth is hurting, it's like you just can't. It's like you can't talk. You can't eat like you want to. Exactly. You can't even think. Amen. Amen. But pressing into the house of the Lord. Not letting a toothache keep him at home. God, I'm going to cover up my tooth and I'm going to press into your house. Amen. Because there's a blessing in the press. Amen. It says, and I press toward the mark. That means it's going to be a struggle at times. But we have to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's look at James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 and 27 because we're talking about detoxing our soul. Because we've allowed things in. And now it's hindering our love for the Lord, whether we realize it or not. When I talk about my sister and brother, I'm hindering the love that I have for God. It's blocking the pipe. It's not, the love is not going to flow. Because God is saying, how can you love me and you have never seen me? But yet you sit beside your brother or your sister and you can't love them. When I was in my mess, I know God saw me. He loved me regardless and he pulled me out of the miry pit that I was in. And we see others struggling and we see them going through. Why can't we extend love and grace to them? But we get into this thing like we've been so saved for so long that we can't make mistakes. We make mistakes every day. And that's why the Lord says if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he says, but you have to confess. I already know what you're going to do. You have to confess it. You have to ask for forgiveness. You cannot let pride stop you from approaching the throne of grace. The Lord says that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. So James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And it says, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, You are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. And that's the New Living Translation. If you claim to be religious, you claim to love the Lord, you claim that you're his child, you claim that you're a servant. He says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. It says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. And this is the part I want us to focus on, and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Refusing to let the world corrupt you. Because we're talking about detoxing our soul. So we cannot let the this corrupted world influence our behavior, influence our actions, and influence our conversation. Amen? Because that's what the Lord says. It says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father is taking care of orphans and widows in their distress and refusing. And he didn't give you a choice. He said, it's this and this. He didn't say this or this. He said this and this. Refusing to let the world corrupt you. Amen? Exodus chapter 23, verse 1. And be careful. People, you know, we grew up with the saying, a dog that brings a bone will carry a bone. So be careful when someone says, I have to share something with you. Because just like they share that with you, they'll share something else. Amen? So you have to be careful who you share your business with. And be careful that when you share something, that you're speaking from a place of truth. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 says, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. You don't even have the full story, and you're running with something that you don't have the full story about. So it says, do not spread false reports. It's just because somebody said something to you, let me see if this is true. Someone can come into the church and say, well, stay away from Elder Phyllis. Get to know Elder Phyllis for yourself. Because so often we try to place our opinions and what we've gone through on others. And we don't get to know people for ourselves. And before you know it, somebody has said something to you about someone that's not even true. Every time I come to church, Elder Phyllis don't speak to me. You don't know what Elder Phyllis was going through before she came into the house of the Lord. And that could have been a one-time incident, and then somebody will act like it's happened every day. And so the Lord is saying, do not spread false reports. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. And another toxin that pollutes our soul is unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Unforgiveness is a dangerous toxin. How can you ask God to forgive you if you haven't forgiven others? And we want God to forgive us of every little thing that we've done. But that cop that gave you a ticket 5 years ago, you still haven't released them. You're still carrying that in your soul. Your mother that mistreated you, you're still carrying that in your soul. That father that you may not have had a relationship with, you're still carrying that unforgiveness in your soul. And God is saying that in order for you to love me in entirety, this stuff has to be let loose from your soul. Because you can't love me fully if you're holding on to unforgiveness. We're holding on to unforgiveness, things that have happened to us years ago. And it's still affecting us today. So Matthew chapter 6, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, Your Father will not forgive your sins. If you refuse to forgive others, God will not forgive us. That's how serious it is. God, I have to release this person that has hurt me, that sent me a nasty email. I have to forgive and release that person. Even with situations that you don't understand. We can, you know, I went through a season that I had to go through for healing because I had to release my parents. Why did you all have to die when I was 2 years old? I don't even remember you. But yet there was a hurt in my soul. And the Lord is saying, in order for you to love me with everything that's within you, you've got to let this go. That I'm sovereign. I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. But we all make choices. We all make choices. And some of us know we should have been repaid worse than what we've suffered because of some of the choices that we've made. But the Lord is saying, I need your soul to be clean. I need your soul to be whole. You know, it's just like, because someone can be believing God for you and can believe God to be doing something in your life, but it's just like they say, you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. If the old wineskins is battered and it has holes in it, the new wine is being poured in, it's leaking out. And some of us, it's like that for us spiritually. We hear the word of God. We know what the word of God says, but yet we still look into that mirror and we feel less than. We feel as though we're not good enough. We feel as though we're inferior to someone else. But are we looking at ourselves through the lens of the word of God? So God is saying your soul needs to be healed of this. You don't have to have low self-esteem. Man does not define us. Man does not define us. God does. And what does God have to say about me? Who does God say that I am? God says that I am more than a conqueror. God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God said that he looked at everything he made and he said it was good. So just because I may not look good in your sight, but in the sight of God, I look good. Amen? And that's what we have to remember. The enemy will try to get us because it's like, okay, so you need to lose 10, 15 pounds. Well, this is what it is right now. Amen? And I'm going to keep pressing on until I get to that place in God that I need to be at. But I have to be, because these are the areas that the enemy will try to attack us in our self-esteem. You know, the things that are spoken to us. And we're wondering, why is our soul polluted? What toxins have you allowed in? Amen? Yes, your husband may want you to wear your hair a certain way, but you know what? Okay, honey, I understand that's the way you want me to wear my hair, but this is what I like. And that's okay. That's not being disobedient. That's not being unsubmissive. Because before I was your wife, I had a name. And I'm an individual that has been called by God. And as long as I'm walking in line with the word of God, that's what's important. That is what's important, because I have to please God first. Amen. So let's not put unrealistic expectations on people. Amen. To try to make them conform to what we think they should be like, or what we think they should look like, or you need to wear this, or you don't need to wear that. If that's the color I like, whether it matches my skin tone or not, that's the color that I'm wearing. Because God is not looking at that. Amen. God wants me to walk according to his word. He wants me to see myself like he sees me. Amen. That's what God wants from us. But we've allowed these toxins. People have sown seeds. You'll never amount to anything. You're never going to get anywhere in life. The devil is a liar. Yes, I am. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But that's why we cannot allow people to try to define who we are. Because we put our value in what they say, then when God is trying to pour into us, well, such and such said this about me. Who are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe today? Are you going to believe man's report, or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? That's what you have to ask yourself, that I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Just because I made this mistake, that doesn't mean that this is my destiny. I made a mistake. I can go to the altar, I can ask God to forgive me, and I can make a new start. Today is a new day. Their mercies are new every morning. So we have to detox our soul. Teachers that have said things that they shouldn't have said and stopped a young person's destiny. It's for us, the body of Christ, to say, no, Diamond, you can do that. Deshaun, you can be an NBA player. There's no holes on God. Brianna, you can go to that college because we know what God is able to do, but we've got to speak it. Sakiana, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. We don't have to just stay right where we are. That's why the Lord says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know how to get to God for yourself. That when you can't reach someone, that I can get down on my knees and I can cry out to the Lord and I know he's there. I don't have to go to a priest to intercede for me. Jesus is my intercessor. And he says that I tore the veil, that now we have clear access to the Father. Amen? But unforgiveness blocks and it clogs our heart. It clogs our soul because we're holding on to things that we should have been let go of. Things when we did when we were in sin, and that, you know, and the worst ones to be around sometimes is your family. Because they're going to remind you of every little thing that you did. But God is saying that once you ask me forgiveness, I wipe the slate clean. I'm not going to keep holding this thing in front of you. I'm not going to keep saying, remember when you did this and remember when you did that. When Pastor D was here, we had an agreement that when we got into a disagreement, we could not bring up the past. We could only deal with what was happening right then. Because he says, if we're going to keep bringing up and dragging stuff from the past, that means we haven't forgiven each other. But we so often, we do that to people. Remember when you did this? Remember when you went out and did that? And God is saying that once you ask for forgiveness, it's under the blood. So when I see you, I don't see that offense any longer. But for us, we hold on to these things. And God is saying we've got to learn to let the offenses go because it's a toxin in our soul when we can't forgive people. Amen? Let's look at Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Make allowance for each other's faults. Know that people are going to make mistakes. Do not hold it against them. And forgive anyone who offends you. Because remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. How many times does God have to tell us? Make allowance for each other's faults. Amen? Forgive those who offend you. Because Jesus, he already told us it's impossible for us not to be offended in this world. He knew it already, so he gave us. You're going to be offended at some point or another. So what strategy do you have in place? Forgive those who offend you. Make allowance for each other's faults. Amen? That's what the word says, that they're going to make mistakes. Don't hold it against them. Forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Make that decision. And if you have to keep saying it over and over and over again until it gets into your heart, then that's what you have to do. But the Lord says, forgive quickly. Amen? Now, another thing, another toxin that we deal with is worry and anxiety. We worry about stuff we have absolutely no control over, none whatsoever. But we'll be worried half to death about stuff that we have no control over. And I've shared this with you all before when my children were younger, and, you know, it would be Christmas. And I'm already worrying about the next Christmas. It was crazy. How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? Where the money going to come from? What are we going to get them? And it's months away. When they talked about the rice shortage, and I shared this with you all before, I started freaking out. Because they was like, it's going to be a shortage of rice. So I was talking to Sister Gwen, and I was like, sis, what am I going to do? She said, you don't even eat rice like that. But worrying about something that we have absolutely no control over. And she was, I was like, you know what, you're right, I don't eat rice like that. Amen. And then it was the bird flu. It's like all of these things, and you know, we listen to the news, and oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And you got to stay in the house, you didn't want no bird to touch it, you didn't understand it. Just freaking out at the smallest thing. How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? And I used to get so mad at Pastor because he would just be so calm. And I'm like, you're not understanding where I'm at. And he's like, honey, God is in control. It's like, yeah, but listen, this is what they're saying. And I'm gonna be, I have to tell you all this. We was on a cruise a couple weeks ago. That Friday night, I was about to lose it. And Elder Phyllis was so calm, and it was like, I can't tell her how scared I am right now. Because that boat was rocking, and she was like, God got us. And I was like, do you really, Jesus? Because I'm like, this boat is rocking like never before. And I'm looking out the window to see if I can see the water. I was like, okay, as long as I don't see no drops of water hitting the window this high, I guess we're good. Because Deidre and Dominic had shared with us the water was, they had the balcony, and the water was hitting the balcony. I was like, oh, Jesus, please get me home. You all, I couldn't get off that boat fast enough that Saturday morning. But worry and anxiety will tear us apart. And so last night, I got to tell you this. Last night, I was in the house. The kids moved back home. Amen. And it's such a blessing. But last night, it was just me and Deborah at home and Sophie, our dog. But I kept hearing this jingling. And I was getting ready to text Deborah. I was going to text Deborah and asked her, is Sophie downstairs? I'm hearing this jingle. She has a little collar on. And I didn't know where it was coming from. I really didn't. And so then I'm peeking around the corner. And you all know, you know, I had this fear of the dark. So, okay, I had taken out the little motion sensor lights. But last night, I was hearing that jingling. I was like, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is, it's got to go. Whatever is trying to come into this house, it must go. In the name of Jesus. Because I said, I am not going to be pound up in fear again. But I have to confess, I did plug one light in. As I'm just going to put it in the hallway. So if something passed this way, the light is going to come on. Amen. But worry and anxiety will eat us from the inside out. It will eat us from the inside out. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11. Worry and anxiety. It's terrible. It really is. And I said, God, I thank you for where you brought me from. But it made me feel better because Deborah came downstairs. And I said, Deborah, I'm hearing this jingle. I said, where is Sophie? She said, she up in the room. And then finally Deborah heard it. So it was like, what is that? So we never did figure it out, but it was like, God, this is your house. Amen. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, then Jesus said, come to me. I mean, that's those three words. Jesus said, come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say, go run to someone else. He says, come directly to me. Know that I am your source. Because we can share something with someone, and the burden that they place on us after we've shared it can be so heavy. We feel that spirit of condemnation. It's like, why did I even share that? But Jesus said, come directly to me. He says, because he is the only one that can give us rest. He is the only one that can give us rest. So he says, come to me. And so often when we're going through, or we're going through a trial, we run the other direction. And Jesus says, you're running in the wrong direction. I'm right here. I'm waiting for you to come to me because I want to give you rest. Jesus says that he is gentle and humble, and he's willing to teach us. And the burden that he places on us is light. But we carry things, we carry so many heavy burdens because we don't cast them on him. We don't give them to him. He says, come to me. Amen? Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. I know I had several scriptures today. Amen. Psalm 55, 22. It says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Give your burdens to the Lord. It requires an action on our part. God says, give me your burdens. Bring them to me. What is burdening you today? What is clogging your soul today that you need to give to God? Because the Lord says, give it to me. And he said, he will take care of us. He will take care of us. Man cannot take care of us. God says he will take care of us. Amen? He will provide for us. But he says, but you have to give it to me. Amen? And that big one, fear. Fear is a toxin to our soul. Because fear will have us hearing things, seeing things that's not even there. Amen? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Fear will have us thinking stuff is happening, hearing sound, thinking the ship gonna sink. And I'm telling you, when we was in that dining room, and I think it was an island we was passing by, because I think they was kind of circling at one point. I was so glad. It was like, oh, Jesus, that land is not too far away. We must be home soon. I was like, get me off this boat. Amen. But fear will paralyze you. Fear will paralyze you. And the Lord says, and we know the favorite scripture, God said he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He did not give us a spirit of fear. So that means fear is a spirit that needs to be brought under subjection to the word of God. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We belong to God. There is not a person in our life that have given their life for ours. Amen. Jesus was the only one who did that. And he says, and because I ransomed you, you belong to me. What are you afraid of? I am right there with you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fiery furnace. I am right there with you. When they threw Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel did not fear because he knew God was with him. The Hebrew boy says, whether you deliver us or not, all we know is that we know you're able. Now, the final result is in your hands. We know that you're able, God. How many of us tell God that assurance that, God, regardless of what I'm going through right now, regardless of what I'm feeling right now, God, I know that you're able. I know that you're able. Now, what you decide to do, God, you're sovereign. That's your decision, but I know that you're able. So I'm going to trust you regardless of the way this situation looks like. God, I trust you. Amen. 1 John 4 and 18. I think this will always be one of my favorite scriptures. 1 John 4 and 18. And I showed up was quoting it on the way to New Jersey this last summer while Keisha was just taking pictures to show Nathan. And I was like, I don't know how she do that. And I'm just sitting there, perfect love, cast out all fear. Perfect, because I'm not one that likes planes. I don't like heights. And it's like, man, we really up here. Amen? But First John 4 and 18 says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. There is no fear in love, and because the Lord loves us, that means, God, you've got my back. You have me when there's no one else around. You have me. And when the pastor shared this with me years ago in Philadelphia, and we went to Bible study that night, and I heard that scripture, that fear was broken off my life in that season. Because Pastor D used to work at night. I couldn't stand it because he drove the ambulance. And when he left, it was time for Marion to wake up. If it was 2 o'clock in the morning, then that's the time my day started. And it's crazy. I look back at that season in my life and it's like, Lord, what in the world was going on? Because fear is a spirit. It is a spirit. And I didn't even tell him how bad it was. But even in the daytime with the sun shining, but I guess it was being in Philadelphia, and I'm just thinking there's all kinds of crime and all kinds of stuff going on around me. And that door in the basement was propped up with a, you remember what they used to call them, a horse? And it was a piece of wood with two legs, and that, it wasn't a lock on the door. So at any moment, I'm thinking that something's going to bust through here. And it was a two-story place. And I mean, literally, guys, I would stand beside the wall with a butcher knife. I did. Another moment of transparency. I would stand beside the wall with a butcher knife for hours. Couldn't move. Paralyzed in fear. And I look back now, it's like I was crazy. I mean, that must have been a serious time of lunacy in my life. But that's exactly what I would do. And I would not move until I heard his car come in the driveway. I would not, and I would have to go to the bathroom, scared to go to the bathroom, had to leave the door open because I'm like, I got to be ready if somebody comes in here. Crazy. But when I heard that, perfect love casts out all fear. It's like, God, I just don't realize how much you love me. And because you love me so much, even in this city that's so very unfamiliar to me, you're going to take care of me. And that's when that stronghold was broken in my life that night. So that was the last day that I held a butcher knife like that, unless I was cooking. But it's crazy. I look back at that and it's like, Lord, that was absolutely crazy. But it was a toxin in my soul, not realizing who God was in my life. I was saved. I had given my life to the Lord, knew what he was able to do, but still that stronghold was so heavy. And that's why I can speak about it, so I can talk about it now. So when somebody comes and say, I'm paralyzed by fear, I understand. I've been there. But I know what my God is able to do, because and he freed me, he's going to free you. Amen? Because he has no respect of persons. Amen? So then we say, how do we detox our soul? So detox means to abstain from or rid the body of toxic or unhealthy substances. Amen? So let's look at Romans 12:2. And we're almost done. Romans 12:2. And we should be able to quote this one. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is this action that I'm involved in, is it acceptable unto the Lord? It is in line with the word of God. Your mind has to be renewed. The battle truly starts in the mind. Because we see things and then the enemy plants ideas and then we have seconds to respond. Does this line up with the word of God? And if it doesn't, it needs to be cast out. Amen? Let's look at Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians 4 and 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. I love the New Living Translation with this. It says, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on the fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Stop letting your mind just sit there and drift. Fix your thoughts on what is true. So when the enemy comes whispering to you, whether it be through the form of a person or however it is, what is truth? Truth is the word of God. So what I'm hearing, does it line up with the word? No, it doesn't, so it does not belong to me. I mean, it has to be just that quick. Don't play around with it. Cast it to the side. This is not truth. Because sometimes we're perceiving things that are not true. And that's why our soul has to be detoxed, because if our soul is polluted, then our thoughts are polluted. Because it starts in the mind and it gets into the soul. So if I'm the way, okay, so Dominic is thinking a way about me. Is the thoughts that he thinks towards me, are they true? Is that really truth? Or is it that my perception? And if my perception is wrong, then the thought is wrong. Amen? So then I have to go back and say, wait a minute, what do I know about him? So when I call him and ask him for a favor, and he says, Pastor, I don't mind, he means that. But the enemy will say, look, you're bugging him again. You're being burdensome again. Because that's what the enemy wants us to do. But what is truth? We have to fix our thoughts on the things that are true. Amen? Proverbs 4 and 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The word of God says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. That's what the word of God says. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can't bring everybody in that close. You have to be careful. Guard your heart, because sometimes we expose ourselves to things that God did not intend for us to. God says, I must sit on the throne of your heart. Amen. God says, I will have no other gods before me. What is a God in your life? And that's why we're going on this fast. Whether it be food, social media, reading, what is it that has become an idol in your life that you're not even aware of? And God is saying that's what needs to be removed so that your soul can be detoxed. Amen? Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119:11. And the word reads, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, I do not want to sin against you, so because of that, I'm going to hide your word in my heart. I'm not trying to fit in with this world, because God, you've already told me that I am a royal priesthood, that I'm a peculiar person, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. So I'm not going to fit in with what the world is doing. I am going to hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him. When God looks at you today, is his word in your heart? Or do we just have a head knowledge of it? Amen? And then we have to stay tethered to God. You know how you played tetherball when you were growing up? Well, think of God as that pole. And you're that ball. You can't play tetherball if it's not connected to something. God says you must stay tethered to him. That's our last verse, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. We must stay tethered to God, because what we try to do is that when we're going through a good season, we feel as though we don't have to praise God as much. Everything is going good. I've got the money in the bank. My business is doing well. I've got favor on the job. I don't need to pray as hard as I was praying last week. God says without him, we can do nothing. John chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. No, I'm sorry, read verses 4 and 5. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're not tethered to God, you're not being fruitful. Amen? And being tethered, it doesn't mean just, you know, okay, I'm going to read a verse a day. It takes more than that. Don't just read that verse a day and think that I can scratch off the list now. No, God wants to spend time with us. Think about, and I'm terrible at plants. I kill them all. That Mother Day's plants the pastor gave us has been dead. But you think about it, because at one point it was dry. I mean, the dirt was just solid as a rock. So you try to pour a cup of water on it, and the surface is wet, but what's down at the root? And that's what we try to do. We say, you know what? I'm going to just do a little bit of word without letting the word penetrate us and to get down to the root of the issue. So the things that I'm dealing with, it takes more than 5 minutes for me. Where I'm desiring to get at in God this year, it's going to take more than it took last year. It's going to take me going deeper in order to be elevated. Amen. So more time in the Word of God, less time on TV. More time in fasting and prayer, less time reading my fiction. Amen. Because that's what God is calling us to. We have to stay tethered to him. Where do you want to get to in God today? But God says, I need your soul to be detoxed. Because when our soul is full of toxins, the word is going in, and it's not changing the effectiveness of the word. But we're not benefiting it. We're not benefiting from it. Amen? If we are full of junk, how can the word get into the root of the issues that we're facing? It's like the pipe. If you have a clogged pipe at home, unless you put something in it to clean the pipe, the clog is going to stay there. You either got to snake it or put some Drano or something to clear the blockage. And God is saying, my word wants to clear the blockage in your soul today. Will you allow it to penetrate all of the areas? Or do you just want God to just do this one little part? And it's like, God, I want it all. I want everything that God has for me this year. I'm willing to make the sacrifice. I'm willing to turn my plate down. I'm willing to turn off the TV because God is a place that I want to get to in you, and I know that I've got to go deeper. You may stand to your feet. It's time to detox our souls. It's time to detox our souls because we think about our health. We want to lose weight. Amen. What is your spiritual goal for this year? What is your spiritual goal for this year? We have financial goals. We have goals for our family. And that's where the vision comes in at. You have to have a vision for your family. You have to have a vision for yourself. That God, this year, this is what I want to accomplish for you. This is what I want to do for you this year, Lord. I don't want to be giving all of my time to my natural job. And my spirit is going lacking. Our spirit man is perfected, but we've got to bring the soul into subjection. Lord, I need my soul detox today. I've been carrying stuff for too long. Even on the way to church this morning, I said, God, it'll be 15 months, the 16th of this month. It's like, Lord, it still doesn't feel real. But I said, but you know what, God? You're real. And you're real to me. So God, even with that, God, remove that deep grief. And he is. He's moving that deep grief from my soul. I will never forget Pastor D. Nobody can take his place. Brandon said probably nobody else can put up with me. Amen. But it's like, God, nobody else can take his place. But I want my soul to be detoxed. Those things that I've been carrying. It's like, God, it's a new year. It's a new season. It's a new place, God. Do the work that's needed. Do the work that's needed, God. We have to just open up and say, God, just have your way. Holy Spirit, just have free reign. Show me those things that need to be removed from my life. What are you willing to surrender today? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your word. Father God, continue, Lord God, to shine your light from heaven on our souls, Father. Show us those areas in our life, oh God, that need to be detoxed, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, let us guard this anointing that you have blessed us with, oh God. Let us not treat it as a light thing, Father, but to know that your hand is upon us, Lord. And that even when we're not around each other, you're always there, Father. And God, we want to do the things that we do, we want to bring glory to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father God, strip us of those things that's not like you. Strip us of those desires that don't line up with your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you that your word does not return into your void, Father. But it prospers where you have sent it, Lord. And Father God, I release your word over everyone under the sound of my voice right now in the name of Jesus. Those souls that are persistent in serving you, Father, bless them with new strength today, oh God. Create in them that hunger for righteousness, Father, that can't be quenched by anything else, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let us be your ambassadors as we go forth into the land, oh God, into the workplace, Father, wherever our feet take us, oh God, let us reflect your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord God, use us as you see fit, Father, because we know that you're looking for willing vessels, oh God. So we present these bodies a living sacrifice unto you, Father, holy and acceptable unto you, oh God. Father, because this is our reasonable service. That is the least that we can do, Lord. Father God, we choose to forgive today, Father. We choose to release and forgive those who have offended us, oh God. Father God, there are things that we've been carrying in our soul for years, and Father, we loose them from our soul right now in the name of Jesus. Jealousies and envy, gossiping, oh God. Fear, worry, and anxiety, we loose it from our soul right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. In the name of Jesus. And Lord God, when the enemy comes knocking at our door, we know faith will answer. For it is written that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth, O God. In the name of Jesus. We will not agree with our circumstances or our situations, but we will speak words of faith, oh God. We will release words of praise, Father. We will release worship, oh God, and watch you move in the atmosphere, Father. God, we thank you. Father, we praise you. We honor and adore you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.